We're continuing our studies in the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians is written to brethren. It's a book that helps us to understand and appreciate the fact that we are not justified by the law, but we're justified by faith. Justification by the law has to do with the works of the flesh, and we can't please God in the flesh. That's all there is to it. We please God by living by faith. And justification has to do with whether or not we stand approved in His presence or not. And I wanted to pick up on Paul's dilemma and to look a little bit at Paul, who he was, and the struggles that he had. I want to read verses 1 through 5 to begin with. Galatians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which were with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In Philippians chapter 3, we find out that Paul was a Hebrew. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. When we think about Paul, I think of him as one that was already in the family. When the Lord accosted him on the road to Damascus, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But in Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, it says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, Paul was blameless. Paul was just. Paul was not living by faith. He was living according to the law. And he was persecuting those that were in the family because they were adding to what he believed. That is, living by faith. Paul was a Bible student. In Acts 22:3, he says, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of our fathers, or of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And Gamaliel was a doctor of the law, according to Acts chapter 5, verse 34, when it says, and there stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people. In other words, Gamaliel was a teacher of the law. Paul was one of his students. And he was, as far as the law was concerned, he was blameless. He was living. He was just, in other words. And Paul was like the rich ruler. Being just was enough. When Jesus was trying to teach the young rich ruler that, hey, you need to live by faith. You are not chargeable as far as the law is concerned, but you're not pleasing me by living by faith. I personally believe that when Paul was on the road to Damascus and he was persecuting the church, he was already a child of God. We ask the question, how did Paul become a child of God? He became a child of God just like Mary did, just like Joseph did, just like Zacharias and Elizabeth. They embraced the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the way you were saved in the Old Testament. And Paul was a student of the Bible, of the Old Testament. I was doing some evangelistic work in the streets of Chattanooga many years ago, and I was trying to help a man come to know the Lord as his Savior, and he knew enough Bible to tell me this. He says, if I can experience what Paul experienced on the road to Damascus, I'll get saved. Well, the Lord isn't going to do that, because Paul did not get saved on the road to Damascus. He was a deceived child of God, and the Lord appeared to him, and he got his attention, and things changed in his life. His message changed. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, it says, Paul says, "And profited in the Jewish religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, call me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." In other words, there was no person came along and witnessed to Paul where he could be saved. Paul was already saved. He was just kicking against the gourd, or the prick. He was fighting the Lord. And we see that in Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 6. It says, "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord?" Paul knew that there was somebody bigger than him that was talking to him, and he must be the Lord. And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And that was not what must he do to be saved. That is, what did the Lord want him to do? Now, the Lord did use a man to help him to know what the Lord wanted him to do. I mean, Jesus could have told him what he was going to do, but he wanted Paul involved with the local believers because he was going to use the Apostle Paul among the believers. So he sent him into the city where Ananias, one of the Lord's servants, whom the Lord appeared unto, to tell him to go speak to this person that he happened to be hiding from. Ananias was one who was walking and pleasing the Lord, and he knew that Paul was on his way to Damascus. So I don't know whether Ananias was in the bushes or under his bed, but he was hiding from him. And the Lord says, "I want you to go and talk to this man because he's a vessel chosen by me." And in verses 15 and 16 of Acts 9, it says, "And the Lord said unto him, Go thy way. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." When I think about the name of the Lord, I think about the passage of Scripture, and I don't think I put it in our notes this morning, but in Revelation chapter 19, verse 13, it says that the name of the Lord is the Word of God. And the Word of God, we know from Luke chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, that they are the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. And so, bearing his name before Gentiles, kings, and the nation of Israel had to do with presenting the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens to them as well. And of course, we discovered that last Sunday in our study in Galatians last Sunday. Now, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preached the faith which once he destroyed." So, bearing his name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel was preaching the faith. What does it mean to be preaching the faith? It means pleasing God. We are not saved by faith. When I use the word saved, I'm talking about being born from above, the common salvation. That salvation comes by believe, the verb. The word faith is a noun. It does not have any tense in it at all. Though the way it's used much today, you would think it did have a tense, but it's not a verb, it's a noun. Faith is what we do, is the way we live if we expect to please God. So Paul was preaching the faith. He was preaching, how do you please God? And when you study the book of Galatians, you find out that the way you please God is, first of all, you've got to be just, and then you've got to live by faith, because you find that in the Galatians, the book of Galatians. The just shall live by faith. And so that's what Paul preached. After Paul's being accosted on the road to Damascus, in Galatians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, we find him in Arabia. "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days." So we don't know what happened with Paul in Arabia. Some speculate that the Lord tutored him while he was there. But anyway, he was 3 years in Arabia for a purpose. And then he went up to see Peter in Jerusalem, and he stayed with him 15 days. And we find that, I believe, in Acts chapter 9. "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus." Barnabas befriended Paul and took him to the apostles. Then in Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, it says, "Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them that were of reputation, lest by any means I should run, or had run, in vain." Now, what Paul was not careful about telling the apostles or anybody of how to get Gentiles to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to become born again, or to be born into the family. But what made Paul cautious is this. During the ministry of the Lord, while he was here teaching in the nation of Israel, the disciples as well as the apostles, could not go to the Gentiles. They could not go to the Samaritans. These two groups of people had been excluded from the ministry of the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. Because Gentiles have always been able to be saved, but Gentiles and Samaritans have not always been able to enter into the kingdom of the heavens. So this is the reason why Paul is careful. He went up to talk to Peter and to some of those in Jerusalem, because he was beginning a ministry that had been forbidden to the Gentiles. So he went up and he and spent 15 days with Peter. And he communicated unto them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but he did it privately. In Acts chapter 15, we see the struggles that Paul had because of his ministry of this message of the kingdom to Gentiles. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other men should go to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Now, on the surface, the word saved here implies new birth. But this is not the salvation that this word is referring to, and we will find that out in just a moment. The word saved is also used in the context of entering the kingdom of the heavens. And we find that in Matthew chapter 19. Jesus said to his apostles, again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed and said, who then can be saved? Well, the key to understanding these two verses is entering into the kingdom of God. If you're born from above, John 3:3, you get to see the kingdom of God. If you do the will of the Father, you get to enter the kingdom of God. And we find out what entering the kingdom of God is when we read verses 27 through 29 of Matthew 19. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? See, they had just got through hearing Jesus tell the rich man, sell all you have and give to the poor. The question of whether they were just or not was not the issue. In other words, they were obedient to the law. They kept the law of Moses. They kept the moral law. And the rich man went away sad because he didn't want to live by faith. And so when he used the term saved in verse 25, he is referring to entrance into the kingdom and not seeing the kingdom. And Peter says, Lord, we've left everything. What are we going to get? And verse 28 says, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that he which hath followed me in the regeneration, that is the coming kingdom, when the world will be restored like it was in the Garden of Eden, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, or namesake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit life of the age. This word everlasting should be translated age-lasting life, or life for the coming age. So, to enter the kingdom is to rule and reign. To rule and reign is to also refer to as salvation. And Hebrews chapter 2 refers to that salvation when it says, how should we neglect so great salvation? There is the common salvation, and then there is the so great salvation. The common salvation brings us into the family. The so great salvation brings us into the kingdom. Now, when Paul and Barnabas and others went to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15 to discuss this matter with the apostles and the leaders of the church, we find something interesting happening in verse 6 of Acts 15. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men, brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. This word of the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom, which we will see in just a moment. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. The giving of the Holy Ghost in that day was an outward expression or sign through speaking in tongues that God approved the message of the kingdom, which had been denied the nation of Israel, denied the Gentiles, that door had been opened. Remember the Lord said to Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of the heavens. Keys are used to unlock doors. And Peter used the keys at Pentecost to unlock the door to the Jews from all over the world. The second time Peter used the keys was in Samaria. When he went up there, he opened the door for Samaritans to enter the kingdom of the heavens. And he used the keys again when he was at Cornelius' house. And we'll see that in just a moment. But anyway, let's go on. Peter says, And the Lord put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Notice it's the purifying of their hearts. It's not being born into the family. It's the cleansing and a life that is pleasing to the Lord. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe, present active, that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. In other words, the apostles received, the apostles and the others that were in the upper room received the evidence or the sign of the Holy Spirit and at Pentecost. And the word believe is in the present tense. That means that we continue to believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus, we shall be saved. That's future. When you think about it, the way it's translated is future. Does that mean that they weren't saved yet? No. It's actually in the aorist tense. It's an infinitive. And it has to do with the so great salvation referred to earlier. Now, in Acts chapter 10, is the experience that Paul had with Cornelius. And I want us to see this so we can see that Peter was not going to Cornelius' house, to a man who was not in the family. In other words, Cornelius was a saved man but denied the message of the kingdom. Now let's look at it. Acts chapter 10 verse 1 and 2. And there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, and gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. Does that sound like a lost sinner on his way to hell? Absolutely not. Here's a man who was a devout. Devout to whom? To the God whom he prayed to. Was a Gentile allowed to become a devout Jew? Absolutely. Because there are proselytes in the Jewish religion. And by the way, the Jewish religion was the only way to be saved before Jesus Christ came. So, this gives you a little bit of a testimony of Cornelius. Chapter 10, verse 22 gives us additional information. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feared God, and of a good report among the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. In other words, the angel told Cornelius where Peter was hanging out. Now, if we're going to wait till the angel comes and appears to us to tell us what preacher to go get so that you can learn to get saved, that's not going to happen. It's just like you can't expect God to appear or the Lord to appear to you on the road to Des Moines and tell you how to get saved. That's just not going to happen. These are special events for special people, for a special calling, at a special time in the history, or in biblical history. So, verse 31 of Acts 10 said, continues, and said, Cornelius, thy, in other words, the angel said unto Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine arms are in a remembrance in the sight of God. Can you imagine a lost person's works being a memorial in heaven? If you're a sinner, the Word of God says your prayers are an abomination. If you're living in sin, your prayers are an abomination to God. Cornelius' prayers weren't. They were remembered. And then we find Peter's message in Acts chapter 10, verse 35 and 37. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. What was the baptism after John? Repent ye for what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. A message that was not allowed to go to Cornelius. A message that was not allowed to go to the Samaritans. But here we find Peter giving that message. A message concerning the kingdom. Because Peter admitted, says, you know, I'm not sure why I'm here and I'm not sure what I'm doing. Because in verse 36, he says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, period. Not to you. And it says in verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall have remission of sins. The word believeth is in the present tense. It's present active. This is not the salvation experience that the Philippian jailer was given. Because the word believe in Acts 16:31 is in the aorist tense, which meant that his salvation was an event. This believe is in the present tense, and it is continuous action. And it's for the benefit of being delivered or having liberty from sin. Did you know a child of God can serve sin? We need to be delivered from that sin. And it's through believing, present active. That's the same thing as really as faith. We can be delivered from sin. And it says in verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. What word? The word of the kingdom. When the Holy Ghost, let me just say this, when the Holy Ghost fell upon Cornelius and his household, it wasn't for Cornelius' benefit, it was for Peter and those that were with him. Because they didn't know what was going on, they didn't know what they were about to get into, but when they saw the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in Cornelius, they were astonished, and Peter says, what hinders us from baptizing them like Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River and like John the Baptist baptized those who repented of their sin, that is, saved Israel. And so Cornelius and his household was baptized because the message was kingdom, not common salvation. And then it says in Galatians 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle. Paul was sent. The word apostle means sent from. Paul was sent with this message to the Gentiles. And not only to the Gentiles, but also to the nation of Israel. In fact, his manner was he went to the nation of Israel He went to the synagogue first. Why did he go to the synagogue first? Because he knew believers were there. He knew children of God were there. He knew saved people were there. And he knew also that Gentiles would be there as well. And which we found out as we studied the 13th chapter of Acts last Sunday. So he went with a message, and which is commonly referred to as Paul's Gospel, which we will look at in messages ahead. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 7 through 13, Paul says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel." Paul's gospel included the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Last Sunday, we learned the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It was through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that we can stand approved in His presence. He was raised again for our justification. Acts 13 tells us that His resurrection provided the promise that was made to the fathers. And here we find that Paul's gospel pertained to the resurrection. Notice, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David, that is, a king, a kingdom, a king, Jesus Christ will be the king, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. In other words, Paul was in prison because he said, keeping the law was not enough to please God. You had to live by faith. That's what he was in jail for. That's what the reason why he was in prison in Rome. But you know what Paul rejoiced in? He says, the Word of God is not bound. Notice it's the Word of God that's not bound. What is the Word of God a reference to? The mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with age-lasting glory, or glory for the age. Notice that the word salvation is used in this passage of Scripture. Where is this salvation? Where does it occur? It occurs in the body of Christ. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're placed into the body of Christ. And this salvation here is a salvation for the elect which is in Christ. This is a salvation for the saved. Now, what does that salvation deal with? It goes on to say in verse 11, "It is a faithful saying, if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him." In other words, if we die to self, we're going to live with Him in honor and glory in His coming kingdom. That's what this is talking about. This is not talking about dying to anything else but to yourself. He goes on in verse 12, "If we suffer," or "if we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him," that is, if we quit enduring, if we quit being faithful, if we faint, "He will also deny us. We will not reign with Him. If we believe not," present active, "yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself." If we don't believe, present active, all the time, we will be denied entrance into His coming kingdom. And so therefore, Paul suffered as an evildoer, because he was including Gentiles as far as the kingdom is concerned. And you didn't have to keep the Mosaic law, that is, the ceremonial law. But you did have to obey the moral law. You can't live in adultery and live by faith. So, hopefully we're basically just laying some foundation work for the book of Galatians. And hopefully we can get into to more verse by verse, Lord willing, next Sunday. But I wanted just to show you, Paul was saved, and he was called for a special purpose to present the kingdom message to save Gentiles. And it created a problem for him, he was in prison because of it. But he says, the Word of God is not bound, and I praise God for that. The Word of God, the message of the kingdom, is not bound. Father, we just thank You for Your Word, and we thank You, Lord, that You've included us in the privilege of ruling and reigning with You in Your coming kingdom when it was only offered to Israel at one time. We thank You, Lord, for that blessing. Even as the Gentile believers rejoiced and were glad that they were included during the ministry of Paul in the book of Acts. We pray that You'd bless the ministry of Your Word to each of our hearts today. Help us, Lord, to endure. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to You, that we might stand in Your presence approved, and to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." These things we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.